morning, everyone. I'm going to continue on the topic of basically nitrogen and corn, but not only at the from the perspective of mitigation, but also from the perspective of adaptation. So quick outline. First, we'll talk about N management affecting climate change, and then we'll look at the reverse, how climate change affects nitrogen management, and then we'll talk about some win-win opportunities for both mitigation and adaptation. So you've seen similar data this earlier this morning, that agriculture perhaps contributes about 8% of the global warming potential. And some people say, well, it's not that high, but if you look at the fact that it contributes about 1.2% of the GDP, it is disproportionate. Carolyn Olson showed similar data. You know, nitrous oxide is the largest chunk of the three major greenhouse gases. And if we look at the total nitrous oxide losses in the U.S., then three-quarters of that is actually from agriculture. And that's this is from the most recent EPA greenhouse gas report. Some numbers that I like to kind of throw out, especially when you talk to stakeholders, 92% of the agricultural nitrous oxide losses are associated with agricultural soil management, and most of that is actually corn, because most of the nitrogen goes onto corn. That's 70% of the total nitrous oxide losses. And I like to throw this one out. If you look at the EPA report, that the agricultural nitrogen management, the N2O impacts for that is greater than the global warming potential for all of U.S. aviation, so all the airplanes that are flying around, commercial and non-commercial. That tends to have an impact on people. And that's only the direct losses. That's not the indirect losses that you might see further down in the watersheds. This is also from the EPA report, and I thought that was very interesting. A couple of points here. These are some studies of nitrous oxide losses. Perhaps some of you have contributed to them. That shows the measured losses, and it shows the descent estimates, which were being used in the EPA report, and then it shows the more conventional IPCC estimate, which is 1% of the fertilizer applied. So a couple of points here is that the IPCC estimates were low in the cases where there were high losses, and that the descent model is a major improvement, actually does really quite well. And also that the N2O losses for corn, and the ones that I highlighted here are corn production. That's where a lot of the N2O losses appear to be occurring. So to put that into perspective, and again, I mean, when you talk to stakeholders, I think it's important to do that. If you look at maybe the average N2O losses of 8 kilograms of N per hectare, which it may be 5, it may be 10, something like that, but just a rough number that appears to be an average, that's equivalent to 2,500 kilos of CO2 equivalent. That in turn is equivalent to 100 liters of gasoline or 13,000 kilometers of driving an average car. And that's on a per hectare basis. And when you communicate it in that way, people sort of realize that, well, these numbers are pretty high. So when you look at it on the farm scale, say 200 hectares of corn, maybe a medium-sized grain farm in, say, the Midwest, that's 2.5 million kilometers of driving per year, okay, that comes from nitrogen. Now, these numbers may be off, but they are in the ballpark. Now, we talked about nitrogen impacting global warming. Let's now look at the opposite, because climate change, which appears to be really happening, has an impact on nitrogen management. So we have more precipitation extremes. Especially the excess wetness is a primary concern. Drought may be a concern because then we have a lot of unattained yield potential. So if you get a mid-season drought, you end up with a lot of residual nitrogen in the soil profile, which is then subject to losses, leaching or denitrification. And then, of course, the temperature also has some impact. There's some data from Peter Kavariga from the Iowa Soybean Association that shows that in the Midwest, this case Iowa, that there's been a gradual increase in early spring precipitation, which is a very critical time period, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. And when you look at these numbers, this is over a 35-year period, that is about a 30% increase. That's very significant. That's in a relatively short time period. So if that's real, it does affect nitrogen management. The point we need to keep in mind is that was an average number for a state, But when you do look at the precipitation patterns for Iowa, this is 07, this is 09, it is highly localized. Okay, you may have very high, we had well over, or they had well over 10 inches of precipitation in this location, but you go not too far away, maybe 20 miles away from that, and they maybe only had 2 or 3 inches. Okay, so it's highly, highly localized. So how does that impact nitrogen on corn? And this graph, and if you've seen it before, I apologize. I've showed it in a lot of presentation. But this shows the basically the idea that this is a timeline. This is corn nitrogen uptake during a growing season, conceptualized. And this may be the mineralization of nitrogen from the soil. May include some organic matter additions or not. But the idea is then that you supplement the difference between the uptake and what the soil provides with a site stress nitrogen rate. The issue is that when you have this kind of critical time period for most of the northern tier states, that's in the month of June, where there's quite a bit of nitrogen in the soil profile, but the corn hasn't taken it up yet. Okay, and that's kind of very typical of that of corn as a crop. And so that is then subject to losses. So you get, say, 2-3 inches of rain in a few days, and you may lose a lot of that, and then you need to site dress at a much higher rate. Okay. The issue is that most farmers are fertilizing based on the kind of the worst case scenario. But that may only occur in 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 years, which means that in those other years they're over fertilizing. So if this is a scenario where you might apply all the nitrogen pre-plant, and often there's a little bit of excess or insurance fertilizer, but then you get one of those years where you end up with a lot of rain, and then you lose a lot of that, and then you have an end deficiency scenario. Okay, so you basically cannot be accurate about predicting the end fertilizer needs in a humid region environment at the beginning of the growing season, because you cannot account for those weather conditions. This is a manure scenario, which you might find more in the state of New York, where we are, where a lot of manure is being applied, often in excess, but then you get a wet spring and then you lose a lot of that, then you have a deficiency. That doesn't mean that the next year you should be applying more manure. It just means that the conditions of that growing season were such that you ended up losing a lot of that. Tom Brulsma showed a slightly more recent graph. This is from Cliff Snyder's review article from a couple of years ago. Basically the same idea, that you know, trying to get to this sweet spot where you increase your N rate, but you do it in a way that you satisfy the crop demand, and you don't go beyond that, because once you go beyond that, your nitrous oxide emissions go up very significantly. Okay, and that's similar to the Van Grudigen graph that Tom showed a little earlier. So we have both opportunities with nitrogen for adaptation and mitigation. So adaptation means that we adapt to the changing climate, and especially the higher potential for extreme precipitation in the early part of the growing season, which appears to be happening. So that helps maintain yields in wet years by accounting for those losses, but especially it allows us to decrease the N inputs in those normal and dry years when you don't need it, which is very important. So get away from that, the need for insurance fertilizer. And then, and how do I go back to that? There you go. And then mitigation, basically, by having a tool that allows you to predict better the site stress N needs, there's more incentive to use site stress N rates because you can really be more efficient. And that decreases inputs, decreases denitrification losses, and then, of course, lower energy use. So the way we approach that is through the ADAPT-N tool. It's an adaptive nitrogen management tool. It's a model-based. It's a model on a server. It's kind of a cloud computing type application where you don't have any of the software on your hard drive, but it's all done on servers. It incorporates weather effects at individual fields. And it provides nitrogen site stress information, and it's basically currently at no cost. The idea here is that we have high-resolution precipitation and temperature data that are being generated on a daily basis at the Northeast Region Climate Center. They are stored at a server at the Center for Advanced Computing at Cornell. Then stakeholders can input information on their nitrogen management for corn, and through web services, you run a model on the server at Cornell, and you get an answer on a site stress recommendation. That's the basic structure. High-resolution climate data are currently available for the Northeast and for the state of Iowa because we have some projects there. These are the general inputs that you provide. One of them is latitude and longitude, GPS information, so that the model can access the high-resolution climate data, so 4x4 kilometer resolution data, to enter into the model. And you can see these are all sort of the important soil and management information, organic inputs, manure, previous crops, soybeans, and then some other management, you know, as applied fertilizer, planting date. Planting date, by the way, is very important as well, and then an expected yield. And you can run the model off a smartphone or an iPad in the field if you want to. These are some of the input sheets. Won't go into detail. Some mineral N information, cultivar information, soil information, including organic matter content, which is very important. You know, you get more mineralization with higher organic matter. Tillage system, manure applications, and you can enter many manure applications. We go up to 3 years in the past, and then rotation effects. And then basically, this is the result sheet. It gives you back what you entered, so you can check it, and then it gives you a site stress and recommendation. Okay. And then you also have the option of looking at a number of graphs here by clicking on any of these. For example, this is the cumulative rainfall that was part of the simulation. These are the N losses from the root zone. This was in a year where we actually did have a wet month of June, and the N losses were really quite high. And so the site stress N recommendation accounts for that. You can also do end of season hindcasting. So this is a kind of a dairy farm scenario in southeastern New York with sods and manure. And this was 2009 when we had a lot of rain in the late spring. And so tremendous losses. And this is the amount of nitrate in the 0 to 12 inches. And so we ended up in July in a deficit situation, even though we had a lot of manure applied. 2010, similar scenario. We didn't have those rains, and we actually ended up with a somewhat of a surplus situation. Okay, so in conclusion, climate change is creating challenges for corn and management. We should adapt. Corn and management contributes to climate change, and we should mitigate. Okay, and adapt, and the whole adaptive nitrogen management concepts, which there will be a Z session on that tomorrow, if you're interested, provide some of those opportunities. So in conclusion, you know, corn is a very major contributor to the nitrous oxide problem. Corn is also being managed currently at about a plus or minus 40% accuracy level because most of the recommendations are very static. You know, whether it's mass balance or MRTN, they don't account for these highly localized and highly dynamic patterns, especially weather. So that's one of the things that we are trying to address with our approach. Thank you very much.